Hello, everyone. You are listening to the John and Joe Show podcast. My name is John Kerr, publisher of the Kerr Report newsletter. You can find it at kerr.substack.com. And I am now joined by the Joe portion of the John and Joe Show, proud Mundelein Mustang, Northern Illinois Husky, Daily Herald alum, AB7, God, that's the second week in a row, Joe, I butchered that opening there. AB7 morning show contributor and current host for Ultimate Autographs. His name is Joe Aguilar. Joe, how are you?
Hey, John, doing well. You can just call, you know, some guy named Joe joining me again today. That works too.
It's too much fun to recite all of your affiliations and you know, past job. Of course, anybody that's in the media business, we could pass jobs. I mean, we could, you know, that'd be an entire 40-minute podcast, right, Joe?
Right. Now, I'm doing well, though. It's golf weather, but it's really baseball and softball weather, because that's what's started this week with the IHSA. Thrilled about that. It's good to see scores again. It's good to see teams and players, coaches excited about playing the game that they haven't played in 2 years here in the state at the high school levels. It's all good.
It's good to drive by baseball fields and see actual kids playing baseball, being coached, right? Parents sitting in chairs and watching. And we're excited to have on the show today someone who's going to explain to us a little bit more about some of the recent adjustments and changes in regards to the IHSA, specifically coming up this summer season. Her name is Stacy Lambert, and she is an assistant executive director with the Illinois High School Association. And she joins us now. Hi, Stacy. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. How are you?
We're doing fantastic, and thanks for joining us here on the John and Joe Show. First question, Stacy, is on Monday, the news of the week. We're recording this on April the 15th, so on Monday, April 12th, there was the monthly Illinois High School Association Board of Directors meeting, and there was some news out of that where we actually were able to see some state series, right? You know, dates, and that was kind of great to see, so that in the calendar. But also some adjustments to something that's in the world of COVID, something that's an ongoing conversation, and that is mask wearing. What can you share with us about the changes and adjustments that were made Monday?
Yeah, so some great news came out of our board meeting from the IDPH on Monday, where we are now able to unmask our participants in low-risk sports, which would be baseball, softball, track and field, bass fishing, and tennis, when they are on the field competing and able to maintain social distance. So great news for those kids. We had been very concerned for a while and had been, you know, making some recommendations to IDPH for quite a while about some safety concerns that we had for some of those athletes, you know, especially like our pole vaulters who are running down the track by themselves and they're wearing a mask. If that mask were to slip and they're, you know, trying to vault, we were very concerned about, you know, athlete safety. Same with our pitchers who are on the mound wearing a mask, if that were to slip, say, over their eyes or disrupt their field of vision, you know, what would that do if a ball came back at them? So we're thrilled to get some movement on the mask wearing for those sports. We think that's going to only increase our athletes' safety and comfort since they are outdoors and they are able to maintain social distance.
Hey, Stacy, thanks again for joining us today. How does that pertain with the baseball and softball? I'm thinking in particular when the kids are on the bench in the dugout, does it go back to wearing a mask, or do they even have to bring one to the ballpark, to the field?
Great question, Joe. They would be considered needing to wear a mask when they're sitting on the bench. The only exception to that is if maybe you don't have fans at your park or you have your bench that you can spread your kids out amongst 6 feet. I still think it's probably best practice to wear a mask when they're not on the field competing and they are on the bench, even if they are able to social distance. So for right now, we are recommending that masks be worn at all times when you're not on the field.
And it's going to be good to see fans at games for these outdoor sports in particular. The parents, too, if you're going to a game today or this weekend, whatever, to watch your kid or, you know, your neighbor or whatever, play baseball, play softball, fans, is that up to the school? Do the fans have to wear masks if they're going to social distance down the left field line or wherever they're going to watch the game?
Fans should still be masked, yes. We do ask schools to spread folks out, try to sit family units or groups together you know, and 6 feet apart or 12 feet apart, however far apart they can space them. But fans should be masked, yes.
And is that up to the school, or what's the IHSA's role regarding that?
Well, the IHSA is asking our schools to work with our fans to continue to wear masks even when they're spaced out around the field.
Our guest is Stacey Lambert. She's Assistant Executive Director for the Illinois High School Association, and we're talking about recent changes or updates coming up with the summer season. I almost said spring there again, Stacey and Joe. It seems counterintuitive to say summer because right. We are spring, but this is, again, a four-season calendar this year in 2020 and 2021. And Stacey, on the issue of the masks, which, you know, is, again, part of our culture and society now, it looks like will be moving forward here. How much communication dialogue yourself and your colleagues there at the IHSA have with the IDPH and also in terms of sharing information? I know there was something that was noted in the minutes from the meeting that there is data, right, that's being compiled by these schools and being shared with the IHSA as well as with the IDPH. What can you tell us about what that data is and what are, or I mean, I don't want you to speak for the IDPH, but what exactly is, have you noticed, matters most to them when they make like these types of changes? Like you said, a pole vaulter not wearing a mask, but that would seem like an obvious safety thing. Do you have to point these things out to them for them to realize it? Or what, I mean, how what type of expansive dialogue do you have with IDPH about these things?
Yeah, so I would say our communication, it's through Craig Anderson, our executive director. He works with the IDPH. My role with the sports medicine is the advisory committee. That's who I work with. I kind of, you know, take the sports medicine recommendations and pass those along to Craig with their reasons and everything. And then Craig, in turn, forwards that on to the IDPH. So I would say that Craig communicates via email, text, or phone calls multiple times a week, especially leading up to this masking change that we saw. Now, the data that you're asking about, at the end of the winter season, we put out a survey for all of our coaches who were had a team in the winter season in our school center, and we asked them to fill out some information just to tell us if they had an outbreak at their school, if they had an outbreak amongst their team, and if they contact traced it, where did they contact trace it back to? We also asked about coaches and if their positivity rates and, you know, things like that. So we were really just trying to see if we were seeing a spread because of our sports that were taking place in the winter months. And we were very thrilled to see that we did not see a spread in our sports. We had a very low number of student athletes who tested positive who were participants in our winter sports, as according to our coaches. And if they did test positive, the vast majority of those positives were traced back to outside events outside of high school sports. So we were happy to see that, to see that, you know, sports are safe, that we are finding ways to compete safely. And really, we just wanted to give, you know, like a big congratulations to our coaches that they're doing all the little things right with sanitization and spacing out the kids and making sure the kids are wearing their masks. And, you know, those little things day in and day out to keep kids safe and healthy and keep sports up and running. We did share that information with IDPH. We'll be posting another updated survey here probably next week for our spring sports that are going on right now. We tried to do it about 2 weeks left in the season. So we'll get that posted and we'll do the same thing with the summer sports as well, just to kind of track and see, you know, what our coaches are seeing. We want to have that data that we can share with the IDPH so that we have, you know, the best information that we can to make recommendations moving forward.
Stacey, along those lines, we've had high school sports back here for what, 3 months pretty much? We had basketball and now, you know, football's almost done with. But as we've analyzed these unprecedented 3 months, we're still in those times, right? Mm-hmm. What's worked? What's been good here? What's hasn't worked? Hopefully we're not in this situation again a year from now. My gosh, let's hope not. But if we are, what have we learned that said maybe that really hasn't worked as far as just maybe the logistics involved and what the, you know, the state and the health departments are trying to do and trying to accomplish? What's kind of worked and what maybe hasn't?
You know, Joe, I'm not sure if I really have a great answer for that yet. I do think that our coaches are trying their hardest to follow all the mitigations out there. They want to keep the kids safe and they want to keep sports up and going. So I think maybe what's working best is all the extra time that they're putting in to educate their kids, to make sure that their kids are, you know, staying spaced out, bringing their own water bottles, you know, washing their hands, sanitizing the bench, the game equipment, whatever it may be. I think those little things are the things that are helping the most that in our high school setting. Our high school coaches are excellent rule followers, and they want to make sure that they're doing the little things right. So the mitigations that we're putting out to help keep kids and coaches safe, I feel like they're really doing their best to follow everything that we're asking them to do.
Again, we're talking to Stacy Lambert, Assistant Executive Director with the Illinois High School Association. Again, John Kerr, Joe Aguilar here, the John and Joe Show on a Thursday, April the 15th. And Stacy, along the lines of the sports and the classifications, because if there's one thing that we've learned here, and if you read that all sports document, it's the different levels and phases and bridge phase and that high risk, moderate risk, low risk, and there's different classifications, which means there's different restrictions, right, depending on how that sport is classified. And how much dialogue is going on now regarding that aspect of? I know there was a change to girls lacrosse, right? Girls lacrosse is now, I guess it's non-contact, which allows them to have a state series. So congratulations to those girls. Mm-hmm. But boys lacrosse cannot. It's listed as, you don't have gender classifications, contact or non-contact. And any observer of the sport will understand what you mean by that. There is more contact in certainly boys lacrosse just because of the way the rules are, and sort of how and girls don't wear helmets when they play lacrosse. Boys do, and that sort of thing. How much conversation is your understanding is amongst the sports medicine committee about those classifications? Because at the national level, the National High School Federation, they did away with labeling. They don't even mm-hmm. recommend states do any labeling at all. So is that something, I mean, is the labeling aspect of this, meaning high risk, moderate risk, low risk, how much of dialogue is that about in here in the state of Illinois amongst the sports medicine committee?
There's really not much amongst the sports medicine committee in terms of, you know, the levels of classifications that the sports are at. That has pretty much been handled by the IDPH. We were educating for a long time, trying to explain to them the difference between lacrosse. Cause like you said, if you don't know lacrosse, you don't know that there's a difference between the boys and the girls game. So, we were really working to explain to them, you know, there's two different rule books, they're played two different ways, and here's the differences, so that we could, you know, help them to understand that girls lacrosse is a completely different sport than boys lacrosse, even though they bear the same name. But the risk levels and the categories have really been put out by IDPH. We haven't had a lot of conversations with them or been, in, I guess, you know, asked. They kind of took the NFHS model when they first put out those classifications, and so far they haven't made any adjustments to that. I don't know if that could change here in the coming months, but that's where we are right now.
And Joe,
hey, Stacey, I want to ask you about volleyball in particular. I know that's a sport near and dear to your heart, right? You played in high school. I saw you were state champ at Quincy Notre Dame back in the day. Played at Milliken. Wasn't there some kind of, I'm trying to refresh my memory here, back in the fall about whether volleyball was considered a contact sport or a non-contact sport? I think I saw some Twitter banter with some smart volleyball people, coaches, like, how was volleyball considered a contact sport? What can you refresh my memory about what the if there was controversy, that might be too strong of a word for it, about that, and where do you stand on whether volleyball is considered a contact sport or not a contact sport, I guess?
Yeah, I would definitely not consider volleyball a contact sport. That's just my personal perspective. I don't know if the contact piece came because that you're on the side of the net with your six teammates and you could bump into them, I guess. I'm really not sure where that came from. But I guess, you know, the reason volleyball was classified the way it was because it's indoors. So maybe we'll get some sand beach volleyball going here in Illinois and play some outdoors and it'll be considered low risk. I don't know. That'd be awesome. But right now, I do hope that volleyball could lower its classification. I really think, you know, for the most part, the kids, they're not near each other from opposite teams. Maybe they are on the same team, but you're with your teammates every day. So I don't know. We'll see if that changes moving towards the fall season. I'm hopeful.
And are you saying do you play sand volleyball?
I haven't for a while. No, I did for a number of years after college. Yes, but not here recently.
And I got to say, one of my favorite summer Olympic sports is the beach volleyball aspect of it, right? Which I know we're certainly hoping, we're still scheduled to have this in Tokyo, right, this summer.
Yeah.
Right, next year, but that's always one of the more fun areas to, just because it's like in a confined space, you get the grandstand. Again, anybody who plays a sport, I've got a nephew who's trying it for the first time. He's 6'4" and a half, has never touched a volleyball in his life, but one of the coaches saw him in school and said, hey, can you come over? I need a middle blocker, right? He just stand there. And, and it's a sport, right? I mean, I know obviously there's Stacey, it's more common. He couldn't play DS or play setter, right? But you can put him probably at a middle blocker position. But I think certainly the indoor aspect of it, right, it still makes it a little bit more challenging. And that's why I think moving now into the summer, the last indoor sport, there won't be any more indoor sports, right? That's got to be a significant thing now going into the summer here, Stacey. The fact that there are not going to be any, once volleyball is out of the way here, there's no more indoor sports.
Yeah, just boys volleyball. We'll have that here considered in the summer season.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. So, we'll see how they do, and we'll compare the information that we get from our boys teams to the information that we got from our girls teams. You know, I feel kind of bad for the teams that are going right now because there is a little bit of an uptick going on. So hopefully we see that, you know, it's still not showing that spread is coming from high school sports. I'm pretty positive with what we've been hearing from our coaches, that our coaches are working hard to make sure that it's not coming from high school sports. So we'll see how boys volleyball does. But I know they're excited to be back in the gym. They missed their season last year, as you know, and it's such an exciting, great sport to watch. So I'm excited to catch some games here this spring or summer. I said it too.
Right. I do like the fact that we are talking like about summer sports, even though, because we don't get enough summer talk, or just using the word summer, certainly in Illinois in April, even May for that part, for that matter. But regarding volleyball, now all these quote unquote summer sports will have state tournaments, except I know wrestling will not, but volleyball, will they have a state tournament? I missed that.
No, unfortunately, not able to have a state final. We are going to have regionals, but then we reached the point where, well, to go to sectionals, we would have been, you know, moving past the 30-mile radius that we're asked to try to stay within. So regional finals are as far as we can go right now with boys volleyball. I don't really anticipate that something will change. We haven't been given any kind of a hint that would change. So regionals are where we're ending this year.
Okay.
Our last few questions here with Stacey Lambert with the Illinois High School Association. And Stacey, a couple things here related to what you just said about what you're discovering in regards to these positive tests. And this is what we hear, Joe and I hear, living in the communities that we live in. I coach youth football team. We were shut down for 10 days. And it was, again, one athlete who got at some pizza party, right? It wasn't from playing football. That's frustrating for everybody. I know it's very frustrating for some football teams that are in the state currently right now. Near where I live, Vernon Hills High School was shut down for about 14 days, but there was a revision from the Lake County Health Department that adjusted that. Mm-hmm. Highland Park High School, their season is now over due to one positive test in their program. And this is happening in DuPage County. It's happening all over the state, not just up here. What are you hearing in regards to, you know, from your coaches about this? You said, I know you're not responsible for the quarantine rules. I'm not going to ask you to sort of comment on that. But you are in touch with your member schools and with the coaches about this. And I'm sure this also happened with volleyball too, not just football. So, I mean, there are other sports where this has happened. Is that data being tracked, and is that then being shared with the Illinois Department of Public Health? Because I think sometimes there's some confusion with the public in regards to what the IHSA's role is in this, and in regards to what the Illinois Department of Public Health does. They're the ones who have the guidelines. They're the ones who mandate the 14-day quarantine. Then the schools then have to then provide data and information to those schools in hopes of a revised verdict, which has happened on a few occasions. But how much of that information are you compiling and when these things happen and then and sharing with the Illinois Department of Public Health to say, look, this is what happened. There was this school lost 2 weeks of their season. These seniors are not going to be able to have a senior day because one player got a positive test. Is that how you want these seniors' memories to be? How much, maybe taking away that subjective statement, just taking a look at the data, how much of that information is being shared with the IDPH?
Yeah, we're trying to track as much of that as we can. Like I said, with the survey that we're asking, one of our questions in there as well is, you know, did your program get shut down or did your program shut down another program? Like those kinds of things, trying to track that as well. And really the reason that we got started with our survey was because all the other states that were able to play in the fall were showing us they didn't see a huge uptick amongst their athletes when they were playing. So we were like, we want to make sure that we're tracking that as well with our sports medicine advisory committee so that we can share that data moving forward, because we felt like that's very important. You know, and I'm no slight to the IDPH or to the local health departments, but when they hear that a kid got sick on the football team, well, your automatic assumption is, oh, it came from football. Well, maybe that wasn't the case. Like you said, maybe it was a pizza party that one kid went to and that's where it came from. And then, you know, it went back to the football team because of that. And we're seeing a lot more of that type of a situation where it's an outside event or a party or something like that, that then comes back to the sports team, not necessarily the sports team that's causing the spread. So we just wanted to make sure that we had that data. We're trying, like I said, to work with our schools as best as we can. We're trying to continue to, you know, share that information with the IDPH to make sure that they know, you know, the impact that this is having on our kids and, you know, how we're tracking or we're seeing things spread. But again, that's really not our role. We're probably a little stepping over our boundaries there, but we're just trying to make sure that we're standing up for our schools and we want to show that our schools are doing a good job in how they're handling things.
It's Stacey, great information. We really appreciate your transparency with so many things here. Before we let you go, I have to ask you, because we've been seeing you here on the Zoom, which people on the podcast can't see, but in the background there's Champions for Life logo. Can you explain? I'm not quite sure if I'm familiar with that. What's Champions for Life?
Yeah, I'll give a shameless plug right now. So I'm also in charge of our all-state academic team, which we have students. It's seniors, boys and girls. A school can nominate one senior boy and one senior girl. They have to have participated in two sports and activities the last 2 years of high school. And this is the logo for that award. We awarded it here in April. We just posted the awards video and the program on our All-State Academic Team page. So traditionally, we have a banquet. The kids come down to Bloomington. It's a whole big hoopla. Obviously, weren't able to do that in this COVID world. So we did like a virtual honors night, and then I just haven't changed out my virtual background yet. But Champions for Life is our slogan that we use with that award, where we honor 26 students from across the state as our, you know, our best and brightest and all that they do.
Academics, John. No wonder I hadn't heard about it. That explains a lot. Thank you, Stacey.
Yes, John, must be very strong in academics.
Champion of life. What is
I would have gotten the two sports qualification. I'm not sure about the academic stuff. I would have passed muster there. Stacey, no, thanks for sharing with that. And we'll make sure that we tweet out some information on our Twitter feed about that. Or maybe that deadline is passed for this year, probably, right?
The deadline's passed for this year, so, yes.
Right.
For next year, we usually release the applications in early December, and then we select the deadlines in, I don't know, like the first week of February or something. So,
got it. Okay.
But it's a really cool group of kids. The things that these kids want to do, it's just remarkable. Not things that I was ever thinking about as a senior in high school.
No, and Stacey, here, before we let you go, one final thing. As we head into a very busy, fortunately, right, last couple of months here, because I know the state series will be a little bit later than it typically would be. But again, nice to see, you know, get Boomer Stadium and, you know, some of those sites and venues that we're used to seeing with the state series moving forward. But to get through these next two weeks, what advice do you have for coaches and athletes, support staff, administrators. So we can actually see that happen in June, that we can all be gathered. I mean, to whatever the spectator limits are allowed at that particular time. Hopefully there'll be some adjustments made where they'll be allowed for more spectators. But what are just some tips and advice for everyone out there involved to say, hey, let's get to June and let's end this year with some momentum and be able to celebrate champions.
Yeah. I would just encourage folks, you know, to keep working hard with wearing the mask. I know it's nice outside right now, so it's so difficult to want to continue to wear it, but you know, wear your mask, social distance, definitely, definitely wash and sanitize all the time. I mean, that's so important. But I would also, you know, encourage folks to get outside and get some sunshine. If they can do it when they are on their own and they don't have to wear their mask, fantastic. But you know, that's so important to get some vitamin D and, you know, eat, just live a healthy lifestyle. I think that's a big part of this that we're learning more and more about every day. And I would also say, you know, if you know someone who is quarantined or stuck at home right now, check in on them, make sure they're doing okay. Let's keep our mental health game strong and let's, you know, just finish out this school year on a really positive note. Like you said, John, we have so much momentum that we could carry into the fall and it'd be phenomenal to finish on a high note and then keep that rolling throughout the summer months.
Yeah, yeah. Well said, right? I mean, let's just continue to be smart. And we, you know, the animal isn't dead yet here. Let's, the borrow sports cliche, you got to step on its throat, right? I think we think we're so close. Eh, let's just throw the masks off and forget it. And we'd hate to have a setback, my goodness, especially for these kids, especially the seniors who have suffered and lost so much this year. But my goodness, a setback for 2 weeks, we're already seeing some of that, would be horrible. But again, we really appreciate you being on, and fun talking to you and fun getting to know you a little bit.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate the time.
Yeah, and lastly, Stacey, thank you for mentioning to check in with anyone who's quarantined. I mean, that to me, even if you don't necessarily know that person directly, maybe it's a daughter or the son of a parent friend of yours, or somebody who maybe goes to your school, plays for a different team. That's really great advice, and something I think should be promoted and advocated more with these athletes that are, you're right, when you're looking outside, it's 60 degrees out, and you're stuck indoors because of these quarantining rules. That mental health aspect to it is hugely important. So thank you for kind of bringing that up, Stacey. Appreciate that.
Yeah. I anticipate we'll hear more about the mental health aspect, you know, moving forward. I know SMAC's meeting tomorrow. Again, we're doing kind of a bi-weekly call, and I know it's, you know, on the forefront of a lot of their minds.
Thank you, Stacey.
All right. Thank you.
Be well.
Appreciate it, Stacey. Take care. Yep. Be well.
Thank you.
Stacey Lambert with the Illinois High School Association. And Joe, timely information from Stacey about what's happening here in the state of Illinois and the positive momentum certainly for the state series as we roll into the summer months. Good news about the mask wearing and some common sense things that she brought up that I hadn't even thought about. Like, yeah, a baseball pitcher. You know, imagine that thing flying over, flying over your head, or a softball pitcher, anybody, whatever sport it might be. No reason why they shouldn't be wearing a mask when they're playing sports. I mean, personally, indoors or outdoors, but we'll take that certainly small positive step in regards to the summer sport participants.
Yeah, I agree. And the mental health aspect, which, you know, I'm a big proponent of promoting more of that and being more conscious of that. But I can tell you here in McHenry, the kids have been back in school full time, you know, Monday through Friday, 5 days a week. This is week two, middle of week two here. And I can't tell you how thrilled my high school senior is. It's been, you know, trying, and to McHenry High School's credit, I don't know if this is going on at other schools, but they're trying to do some, you know, trying to cram in a lot of things that we missed out on this year. High school kids, not only the seniors, but, you know, homecoming court, a makeshift prom situation at the school, spread out, socially distance, in different rooms kind of thing. So they're trying. And I think they all need that. Man, I can just tell in that little extra bounce in my daughter's step when she comes home from school. Seriously. I mean, you know, you see those subtleties, but that's a kid like thousands upon thousands who are like just excited to see their friends, be in hallways, have more kids in their class. I know we're not out of the woods, you know, can't stress that enough, but this mental aspect of it, the socialization of it, is absolutely huge. So who knows what's happening going forward. We don't know what's day to day. The narrative can change, right? But it's all good, I think, and let's just keep it going.
Yeah, and I think one slight piece of news, I mean, this was not something that is a revelation in regards to the surveying of the member schools and then the results being shared with public health officials. But in my opinion, Joe, the two biggest issues moving forward is the testing. There's too much testing going on and continues to be going on, and the mixed messaging. I didn't want to put Stacey on the spot with this. I came close, Joe, but I held back on the question in regards to the press release that the Illinois High School Association sent out Monday, where they were, you know, they were a mouthpiece for this IDPH recommended testing regimen, which I'm not going to bore our audience with trying to understand, you know, PCRs and antigen. Again, we're all familiar with this at this point, but you know, what's the sort of disconnect there? And where, you know, we're going over material that has been mined by you and I for about the last year, where a year ago the IHSA, you know, basically you know, gave power to the governor and the IDPH, too much power, and to where now they're kind of at the mercy of their whims. And that's why there were some rumors that were coming down earlier in this week, because of some of the spikes in cases, there might be a pause. The governor would call a press conference, just say, nope, we're gonna do a 2-week pause. And why would you not think that? Because he's done that kind of stuff before. I don't think there's any political motivation for him to do it now. We're past the election. I don't see any upside for him doing that now. I mean, nothing shocks me about what goes on in Springfield, but I would be surprised if they did that now. But there's too much testing. And secondly, these quarantining rules are absurd. And I did ask Stacey about that. Again, that's not her response. She doesn't decide what the quarantine is.
Right.
But is this information that's happening at these schools where one positive test is closing down an entire season, is there data from these investigations, from the cause of these positive tests that is being shared with IDPH? And are they is there some understanding of what this is doing? And maybe it's unintended on their end, but there is a consequence to these decisions. And just how much information is being shared between, again, IHSA, IDPH, but again, all roads lead back to public health and Pritzker. And it's just unfortunate what's going on here. And my concern moving forward into the fall, if we continue with this testing regimen, is you're just going to see more of the same. Again, more of these shutdowns, more of these cancellations, and no end in sight, especially when you have the public health, the agency of Illinois that is recommending more testing, and especially for high-risk sports. So we're talking about football, and basketball is considered a high-risk sport. So what are they going to do this summer, hey, Joe? I mean, we're 6 weeks away from the summer session starting. What are schools going to do with this? And tracking all of this information, it's just a mess.
Yeah, and I think we still know that the big guy can pull the plug anytime he wants here. And I'm sure there are people within the IHSA, and I'm not saying it's Stacey Lambert or Sam Knox, who we had on a couple of months ago, but I'm sure there are people who disagree, who are frustrated, see the hypocrisy, or just don't believe in what's being discussed and the rules that are in place, but they got to follow them, right? I mean, I don't want to lose their jobs, or especially talking on a podcast for crying out loud. But it's still delicate for everybody involved. But you're right, Jenna. We thought, hey, look, things will be fine, if not by the summer. I mean, I fully anticipated that by fall of 2020, we would be back to normal. I really did. And now we're looking at fall 2021, where there's still a chance that things could be interrupted. So I don't know. We've said, how many times have we beaten this up in the last year, this topic, but show us the numbers and let's not just ride the false narrative, which we in many cases think is a false narrative with how it's being spread and the certain risks involved. So
kids are perfectly fine with this, Joe. You know, the rise in cases is young people. They're going to be perfectly fine. The vaccination thing is being rolled out. Look, I understand what Pritzker is doing here. Meaning it's not a coincidence that the vaccination rollout from Monday, meaning anybody over the age of 16 will have access to it, coincided again with this uptick or this doubling down in some respects on some of this testing advice, because they want people to take the vaccine. They said, if you don't get vaccinated, here's what's going to happen then, right? It's almost punitive in a way. It's saying, if you don't get vaccinated, here's what's going to happen. We're going to force you to do all this testing, and you're going to have more shutdowns and more cancellations. But the schools can push back. The schools can say, look, we're not going to do it. You know, and this is where the administrators have to say enough is enough here. And we are, remember, these are all recommendations. They're not mandates. You don't have to follow what these public health people say. And we're far enough along now in this situation where teachers are going to be vaccinated. Okay. Right. And most coaches are teachers. And so I don't get why we have to continue with test 72 hours after competition, or 2 days before competition, get a PCR test or get double antigen testing. Why? It's absolutely nonsensical. So you're hoping that these administrators are reading the same thing and going, no, we're double vaccinated, or, you know, or whatever, we're double or Johnson & Johnson vaccinated. We don't need to do all this testing. And if there are kids who have it, who get it, so what? Stay home. You're going to be fine. I think most parents understand that by now, right? That your son or daughter is going to be fine. Leave them home. Do not, if they're not feeling well, that's the one thing I like to, like, even Stacy, if you're not feeling well, stay home. There you go. All right. Wear the mask, sanitize. If you don't feel well, stay home. Let everybody else play and let these athletes have their seasons.
And this was the rule even before COVID existed, right? If you're sick, you know, like people who like never miss a day of work, never miss a day of school, like, well, if you're sick, you should stay home. I mean, that's right. I mean, that was simple flu stuff, and people, you know, do die of the common flu still. So it's just, again, being smart, but let's not make it such an extreme. But people seem to always find an excuse to do something, or more, I should say, more not do something. So we got to stop it.
No, and Joe, and the inconsistencies are still maddening. And even with some of these cases with the quarantining and the shutdown of programs, football teams specifically now, for obvious reasons too, because you've got 50, 60, 70 kids, right? They're on a football team. You're finding out that, the revisions from the county health department, some of that is dependent on the want of that particular administrative staff at that school. I think certainly coaches and athletic directors want their kids on the field. So they are doing everything they can to make that happen in regards to, hey, you need a copy of the roster. You need a copy of you need to go through the videotape of our practice and send you potential contact a list of potential contact tracing. We will do that. Whatever I have to do for my guys or my girls to get them on the field, and I've written about this in terms of what these coaches have to do in regards to some of the contact tracing rules and guidelines, and the Lake County, specifically where you and I are, and that's been the case in DuPage and Kane and McHenry as well, where they will look at it, and then they will then revise that 14-day. The CDC recommends going to 10. That's typically what they do, 14 days down to 10 days. That 4 days makes a huge difference. If it was in the case of Highland Park this year, they'd be able to play. Those seniors would have a chance to finish their season. You know, now they're not. And some of that revision has to do with the will of, and I'm not talking about athletic administrators. I'm talking about the academic administrators on the district side who are playing politics. And, well, I'm not so sure. Do we really want to get our kids back on the field? What are the optics of that? You know, it's again, you're forcing these administrators in a position where they really should not be in terms of making some of these decisions. This has been the case all along, even with the whole spectator thing. With the, you know, we could talk about the whole vaccination passport thing too, where you're asking these administrators and asking volunteers at these sporting events to basically act like military policemen. You know, whether you can come or not come in based on whether or not you have proof of a vaccine or something. That's where we're headed at the professional level, and certainly hope it doesn't happen at the high school level moving forward, though, Joe. But Joe, on a positive note, that's right. It's baseball season. Going outside there, I'm driving by ball fields. I'm seeing kids out there playing baseball. I'm thinking about you out there. You know, you on the softball beat. You all just kind of, you know, you got the 3-4 layers of clothing on, trying to keep score at the same time. Gonna miss not seeing you out there this spring, Joe.
I do miss that part of it. It'll be fun to see whether I see it in person, which I probably won't. But at least pictures in the newspaper where kids don't look silly with the mask around their neck. Just take the dang thing off. If you're not gonna wear it properly, just take it off. So now they don't have to wear it, at least in sports like the lower risk sports, as Stacy was mentioning, you know, baseball, softball, track and field. Let's go.
Absolutely, let's do it. And Joe, I think we might have to do just a John Joe Show road trip and get out to a baseball game or a softball game or a couple sometime this spring, and just as fans and go watch it. I mean, I want to get out and see as many games as I can this spring, not to be covering it as a sports writer, but just to be able to watch and enjoy it as a fan and just sort of celebrate what, you know, truths and you know, basically simple things that we took for granted here over this past year that are back. Certainly, unless something changes, we always say this, unless there is some type of change moving forward, I don't want to even think about that possibility, and there's no reason for that to happen. So let's celebrate baseball, celebrate softball, track, lacrosse, whatever the sport is, and get out and participate. So that's going to do it for this week's episode of the John and Joe Show. Again, want to thank Stacy Lambert of the Illinois High School Association for joining us today. A lot of topical information about the adjustments and changes here as we go into the summer. Now, what's working well, what's not working well as we get through the 2020-2021 sports season. We'll be back next week with another episode of the John and Joe Show. For Joe, I'm John. Say goodbye, Joe.
See you, everyone.